I'll remind us that the people that have been here and those that haven't been here, that Peter writes this letter, 1 Peter, to Christians that were suffering. And their suffering and persecution was about to intensify. He writes to these Christians to encourage them to be faithful to the end, to be obedient Christians, to live holy lives in the will of God, lives in the face of persecution that would bring praise, glory, and honor to God at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks in verse 14, if you look there, of suffering for righteousness' sake. He talks to them, and he then goes on. He infers that there are times when followers of Jesus Christ, walking in the will of God, doing the right thing, will encounter persecution and suffering. Verse 17, he talks there again about suffering for doing what is right. Then Peter transitions to verse 18 and refers to the suffering death of Jesus Christ. For Christ, he says, also died for our sins. Once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. There's no greater example of suffering for righteousness' sake than the death of Christ on Calvary's cross. Consider with me today, he was faithful to the end. He was obedient even unto death, even death on the cross. Christ was holy and pure, doing God's will from the heart, and his life and death brought glory, praise, and honor to God. And it brought to us our salvation. So I want to look this morning. I want to gaze with you on the cross of Calvary. I want you to see there this morning the very form of one who suffered and died there for you and for me. And let me just say this before we begin. There's no way we can sound out the depth of this verse. There's no way we can totally understand what it says here. But may the Holy Spirit this morning shine his spotlight on one verse. And may he open our minds that we can understand just a little bit more the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So look with me, first of all, number one, at the suffering of Christ's death. Now the King James Version, if you have the King James Version, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. That word suffered means suffered to the extreme limit. My translation says, for Christ also died for sins. He suffered to the extreme limit. He gave his life. He died on the cross. He died an agonizing death, being nailed to a Roman cross. We can't even begin to fathom the suffering that Jesus went through. But some of you may have, at one time, viewed the movie, The Passion of the Christ. The Passion of the Christ. You know, there's some things that you will always remember. Some events that happen that you'll always remember because they're associated with, I think, deep emotional feelings. Well, one thing I will always remember is the day I went to the movies to see The Passion of the Christ. I went there with two of my sons. And we saw depicted on the screen, and if you've seen the movie, the brutality, the awful agony, the physical suffering that Jesus went through leading up to the cross and then on the cross. I'll never forget, because my sons, during that movie, wept. And when I left the movie, I went out. I'll never forget how I felt. I felt like I had been kicked in the gut, kicked in the stomach, just watching what depicted the physical suffering of Christ on the cross. But our text tells us that he suffered like that and died on the cross for sins. For sins. And that little phrase, for sins, is a term which was used for the sin offering. That Christ, when he went to the cross, he went there as a sin offering. Romans 6:10 says, for in that he died unto sin. I think one of the best descriptions of this, biblical descriptions, was written over 700 years before Jesus came by the prophet Isaiah. When he wrote, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He suffered and he died for sins. One author writes, it was not the hammer and the nails which crucified him, nor the Roman soldiers who wielded the weapons of his passion, nor the arm and the hand which smote the sharp iron into the wood. These were but the blind material instruments of his agony. His true crucifiers were our sins, and we ourselves, the sinners for whom he died. This was the real power of darkness, which set in motion all the array of death. On the cross, all the weight of the sins of the world were put on the Savior Jesus. That was the cup. That was the cup he had prayed about in Gethsemane. And he drank every drop of that cup when he went to the cross. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. You see, the movie, The Passion of the Christ, it depicted the physical suffering of Christ. But it could not depict the spiritual suffering of Christ. The suffering that he had as the sinless Son of God, having all the sins placed on him. And he who from eternity past had been one with the Father is now separated from God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken of God on the cross. And then God poured out his wrath upon his Son. The sinless Son of God, who never from eternity past knew sin firsthand, personally, was never tainted by sin, became sin and bore punishment, bore hell on the cross. Amen. As the song we sang said, You know what, folks? We'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. Never know. We can't plumb the depths of that. He knows what suffering's about. No one's ever suffered like Jesus. If you go through suffering, Christ can understand, because no one's gone through suffering like him. The suffering of his death. But look with me secondly. Look at the sufficiency of his death. For it says, for Christ also died for sins once for all. Now the King James Version says once, but the word in the Greek, hapax, means once for all. He needed only die one time. And his death on Calvary's cross is sufficient and efficacious to cover all sins of all time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You say, praise the Lord? I'm going to tell you, praise God. This comes into sharper focus when we compare Christ's sacrificial death with the Old Testament sacrifices. Because in the Old Testament sacrificial system, there was a need for continual activity. There was a need for repeated sacrifices. Day by day, year by year, there was a slaying of sacrificial animals. Every day, Day of Atonement, on Passover, thousands of lambs were slain. Yes. All those sacrifices foreshadowing and pointing to God's ultimate sacrifice of his son in the Old Testament. If you would visit the temple, there was one question that was asked repeatedly day after day. And that question was, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And then one day, John the Baptist was down at the Jordan River. And here comes Jesus, and John looks up and he says, there he is! There he is! Amen. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yes. Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross is God's sufficient sacrifice. And that did away with the need for more sacrifices. When Christ died on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. Finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Paid in full. Amen. Done. Praise God. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Can you say, praise the Lord? Praise, praise God. Praise God. I'll tell you, folks, application here. We cannot add anything to Christ's work on the cross. It is finished. All we can do is accept it. Amen. All we can do is accept it. To attempt to earn God's grace is an insult to God. And it denies the power and sufficiency of the cross. This is the difference. In our small group on Thursday night, we were talking about other religions. And folks, this is the difference between Christianity and all the other major religions. Because all the other major religions, they give you ways to try to work your way to their vision of heaven. And all other religions are do, 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 do. You do this and you might make it. Do, do, do. And Christianity is done. It's finished. Once for all. Jesus died for our sins. Once for all. You know what that is? That's the sufficiency of his death. But thirdly, look at the substitutionary nature of his death. Because it says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. The just for the unjust. In that verse, there's two words that are translated for. The first one, we said that he died for sins. That word for means concerning. He died concerning sins. But the second little word for, the just for the unjust, that's a different word. And that little word for means on behalf of or in the place of. Jesus suffered and died on the cross in the place of another. He died in our place. Yes. He died in our place. You know what that is? Substitution. You might hear the theological term substitutionary atonement. That's it. He died in our place. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. All have sinned, it says. So therefore, all must die. All must die. But Christ was unique. Christ had no sin. Amen. You remember back in chapter 1, Peter says he was the spotless Lamb of God. And over in chapter 2, verse 22, I think, or 222, Peter says, he committed no sin. Neither was there deceit or guile in his mouth. Christ was perfect. Amen. Christ was pure. Christ was holy. He was spotless. He didn't have to die. He could have lived forever. But that made it, listen, that made him eligible place. So when Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't dying for his own sins. Had none. He was dying for our sins. You know what that is? Substitution. During the Civil War, there was a farmer by the name of Blake, and he was drafted into the military. His wife had died, and there would be no one available to take care of his children while he was away in the army. Knowing this, a man named Charlie Dorham spoke with him and said these words, "Blake, I've been thinking of you and your family, and you're needed at home. I have decided to go in your place." And he did. He went in the place of Mr. Blake. The first battle that Charlie Dorham was in, he was shot and killed. When the news came back home, Mr. Blake set out and went actually to the battlefield and retrieved the body of Charlie Dorham. He brought the body home and had it buried in the church graveyard near his home. He had a tombstone placed on that grave and had chiseled on it these words, "He died for me." You know what that is? Substitution. Substitution. He died for me. Charlie Dorham gave his life for his friend. You know what the Bible says? Humanly speaking, there's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. That's true, humanly speaking. But you know what Jesus did? He went way beyond that. He died the just for the unjust. We were at enmity with God, folks. We were not God's friend. We were God's enemy. And Jesus Christ laid down his life, the just for the unjust. That's a new level of substitution. That's supernatural substitution. So that you can do this, and I can do this, and I did this. If you write in your Bibles, you can put your name in this verse. Yes. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for Les Sutherland. Put your name in there. Because that's what he did. Amen. And folks, that's substitution. He took the punishment we deserved. He took the wrath of God, which we deserved. He went to the cross in our place. That's the substitutionary nature of his death. But then let's go a step further. Number four. Look at the separation spanned by his death. Here we get the purpose of why he died with the death of Christ. You see, God, folks, had created man to be in relationship with God, in harmony with God, in fellowship with God. That's what he created man to have a relationship, a personal relationship with him. But sin broke that relationship. Sin put infinite chasm between sinful man and a holy God. Isaiah speaks of it in Isaiah 59. He says, your sin has made a separation between you and your God. Amen. And because of your iniquity, he doesn't hear. Sin separates. We know that. Yes. Sin separates families. Sin separates churches. Yes. We know that in our life, in human relationships, but sin separates from God. Yes. But Christ went to the cross for a purpose. Why did he go? It says here that he came so that man could be brought back to him. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. The separation, to close the separation, Amen. To bridge the gap. This is a clear, concise statement of the great purpose of his death. It was to bring us to God. Listen to what one commentator said. He said this, to bring to God indicates mankind's fundamental need. We were a distance from God, and this implies ignorance of his character and will, enmity and alienation, moral dissimilarity, and the want of any favorable intercourse and fellowship. Through his atoning death, sin-estranged human beings may be restored to fellowship with God, the true God, whom believers know personally. Amen. That's why he died. He died to bring us back to God. Can you say, praise the Lord? Praise God that he would do that. It's through his death that Jesus brings us to God, and we can know God now. And it's through his death that one day he will bring us into the immediate presence of God. I'll tell you, here's what the cross did. Jacob, can we have a picture up here? Here's what the cross did. Do you see it? Look at it. You see the chasm between man and God and heaven? It's a chasm that no one can jump over. No human effort can get over that chasm. But God bridged the chasm through the cross. And he died on the cross that he might bring us to God. And I'll tell you, you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to be brought to God. Because when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes into your life.
Amen.
And you have a personal relation. He brought me to God back August 26, 1970. He brought me to God. And he continues to bring me to God. And one day, he's going to bring me to God.
Yes.
That's why he died. Do you see the separation spanned by the cross? Oh, praise God that Jesus died for us. Just like the song says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span through the death of Christ. Praise his name.
Praise.
You say, praise the Lord.
Praise.
Praise God. But that's not all. There's the sequel to Christ's death. There's the sequel. It says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Listen, having been put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, or made alive through the Spirit. You see, Christ truly died on the cross.
Amen.
He did. He died on the cross.
Yes, he did.
He died on the cross. But that's not the end. There's a sequel. Praise God. There's a sequel. He was put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive, quickened by the Spirit. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. For up from the grave, he rose, a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's what he did. There's a sequel to the death. It's the bodily resurrection of Christ. By his death and resurrection, Christ has put death to death.
Amen.
Praise God. He abolished death and he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel is this: Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again according to the Scriptures. That's good news.
Amen.
That's the gospel. By the resurrection, you know what we know? We know who he is. He's the Son of God. Because he was declared by power to be the Son of God through the resurrection from the dead. By the resurrection, guess what? We know that his sacrifice on Calvary's cross was sufficient payment for our sins. We know that because the resurrection is God's amen to the finished work of Christ on Calvary. We know that. We know that. Praise God, the sequel to Christ's death is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was made alive. He was quickened by the Spirit. Praise God.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, folks, the suffering of Christ's death will never know how much it cost. But he did it for us. You know what that tells me? Man, does he love us.
Amen.
If he would do that for you and me, I'm going to tell you, he loves us with a crazy love. I mean, we can't even imagine. And if he did that for us, how much more will he meet the true needs in our life? Will he walk with us through this life and get us through? He loves us. The suffering of his death, the sufficiency of his death. You don't have to work to gain God's love. We got it.
Amen.
We have it. It is finished once for all.
Amen.
He died for all. And his death is sufficient for every sin. It's only effective for those who receive him. But it's sufficient for all sins. The substitutionary nature, we deserve to be on the cross. He took my place. The separation span, the infinite gulf that was there because of my sin, has been spanned by the cross. And I'm so thankful that he didn't stay dead. Because if he would, it would be all for naught. Amen. He's a living Savior. Three crosses stood grimly side by side on a hill of Calvary. On each, a suffering man had died, two for their crimes, the other for me. Like a lamb, they led him out to die from shades of Gethsemane. He uttered no moan, no bitter cry. 'Twas love that moved him to die for me. On the central cross, they nailed my friend to languish in agony. He bore it all to the bitter end. O wonderful love, he died for me. If thou art the Christ, they tauntingly said, come down from the cursed tree. He heeded no jeering word they said, but bowing his head, he died for me. Like a wandering sheep, I'd gone astray, but all my iniquity, my God laid on him that awful day. When bearing my sins, he died for me. Oh, thanks for the love that brought him down. Love fathomless like a sea. His brow was pierced by a thorny crown, that a crown of life might be given to me. My brother, my sister, behold him, crucified on the cross of Calvary. Thy ransom see in the crimson tide. Oh, freely it flowed for you and for me. Would you bow your heads? And elders, would you come?